I'm Jennifer Zakin here on June 13th, 2019 at Solaris in Hudson, New York. I'm interviewing Stella Yoon for the Oral History Project Archive. And Stella, would you introduce yourself?
My name is Stella Yoon, and I live in Hillsdale, New York. I have a business based in Hudson, and I'm happy to be here today.
Would you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I grew up in Southern California and came to New York City for art school, and then lived and worked there for a really long time. And I guess it was the year that I was turning 30, ended up moving, kind of making a sudden decision to move upstate. And I haven't looked back since. So that was in 2011, so almost 8 years ago.
And the moment that you decided to move upstate was, can you tell me about that experience?
Sure. So I think there were a lot of moments kind of leading up to it. I think to when I told people that, because I ended up moving a month after visiting Hudson for the first time, and I think to people that weren't inside my head, it probably seemed really sudden, but I think there were a lot of little things that were happening as I was living in New York City that kind of added up and made sense. And I guess my first kind of seed that was planted, I had kind of fallen into the world of prop styling, and one of the first photo shoots that I worked on was for this Thanksgiving issue, and I guess it was when Farm to Table and like the Green Market and Union Square was still pretty, it wasn't as robust as it is today. So it was kind of when it was really becoming more mainstream, and the story that they were doing was kind of pairing New York City chefs with farms upstate, and the photographer was photographing a series of portraits of chefs and farmers, and they were sharing recipes inspired by the ingredients. And I had never worked on a food shoot before and had no idea what I was doing. And I met, while I was there, bringing in the props for the recipe portion where they were photographing like the Thanksgiving spread with these recipes. The photographer on the other side of the room was also doing portraits, and I met this pig farmer who was being photographed, and she and her husband had crazy corporate jobs in New York City, and however many years beforehand, they kind of decided to leave and kind of chase a bucolic life, and because they were starting to have kids and wanted their kids to kind of have a place that was more like where they had grown up, and they had no idea how to farm. They taught themselves, and that was definitely like a seed that was planted. Just kind of this idea of maybe it's a romanticized life outside the city, because I certainly didn't grow up around that. I grew up in the suburbs in Orange County, where it was pretty much concrete and perfect lawns, and I don't think for as much fresh food as I grew up with, we didn't really see farms. And it's just something about that really struck me, And that, I guess, was also the beginning of me as a creative person getting to work around food. And I'd always been really passionate about eating and food and enjoying good food. And so kind of following that line of recognizing or being able to be around food, many years later, I guess, my friends and I, we started having these conversations about how the kind of creative jobs that we have, we seem to be kind of contributing to a lot of the crap in the world, and how, you know, basically you just really need to eat to live, and how, again, maybe a very idealistic way of looking at it, but, you know, it seems like farmers are kind of like the only honest people left in the world. You know, you work hard and you see what your work produces, and it then feeds other people. That kind of curiosity brought my friend and I upstate for a weekend, and I basically, we drove into Hudson just for the day, and I remember driving in through town onto Warren Street, and basically by the time we got out of the car on the other side, other end of it, I said, I'm moving here. There was just something about just like all the different, I was just like peeking into the stores and from the window, and just every single store that had something in it, I just like couldn't wait to get out of the car. Like, I was just so drawn, and there's just this energy to, just like a creative energy around the curation, or just, it felt like each store was definitely like you could see a person behind it, and that was something that I felt was really missing in my kind of, even being in a place like New York City, feeling kind of disconnected with the environment, and I guess even like all the creative things that were happening around me, I didn't feel excited about them, or there was something about, I was intrigued. So it was kind of following food and farming and coming up here for a farming workshop at Hawthorne Valley. They were talking about biodynamics and, and it was also, it was just like a one-day workshop, and the farmer there, I believe his name's Stefan, he's been a dairy farmer there for many years, and he just kind of was explaining biodynamics and in very simple terms, and kind of what stayed with me was he was kind of talking about how, you know, if you look at farming in the beginning of early days of civilization as 1.0, you know, you just kind of, people started to settle and grow their own food, and then if you look at the industrialization and of food and farming kind of as like 2.0, he was kind of talking about how it seemed like we were kind of embarking on this 3.0. And that just really resonated with me. And as someone that kind of grew up going to church my whole life, and as an adult, like not really going to church, like it was one of those moments where I felt like I was at church, like it really spoke to me. And there was kind of a notion of, for me, like, technology that we live in and live with is enabling us to change the way we live our lives, and you know, my romantic notion of, like, I could imagine, like, oh, if I were to be a farmer, I could be in the fields, like, harvesting, like, listening to podcasts, and, you know, these ideas of still being able to be connected, even in a rural setting, or be able to, you know, do freelance work remotely, and farming. I realized very soon after, I guess, moving up here and just kind of, I knew that I wasn't going to start farming because it's really hard. it's hard on your body and it's just long hours. I have tremendous respect for the work. But I knew from past experience that it's just important to kind of surround yourself, or proximity is really important, and to be close to the things that you're drawn to or want to learn about. There's a lot to be gained. You don't have to be doing it, but to kind of have it be in your orbit is important. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of brought me to this place. And
have you been able to integrate any of those ideas into your life once you moved up?
You mean, I guess, like, what the farming 3.0 kind of looks like?
Yeah, and the biodynamic, I mean, not exactly farming, but just in theory, some of those concepts.
Something that's been surprising to me was when I first moved to the Northeast, I was introduced to four seasons. I grew up in a place where it's pretty much the same year round, and I guess that was great, but I kind of fell in love with the seasons, living in New York City, and really, you know, after winter, you, like, the first of spring, you know, just everyone's outside, and doesn't matter if it's still 40 degrees, it feels warmer, and then the fall, the foliage, it's just kind of magical. And so I felt like that, you know, I thought that I'd kind of understood that. And then I moved up here and you just, I guess, you know, you just experience that on just a larger, it's just on another level. I love just being able to, just being outside and, like, driving. I remember just, I mean, even still to this day, like, I feel so inspired just being outside because it changes every day and from season to season. One fall is different from the next and the colors are different. I love, in the spring, I'm starting to notice every year, I wish I'd written these things down, but, you know, one year you see the lilacs just going crazy. And, the next, you know, in another year, it's like, are they hyacinths? So yeah, it's just kind of this, I think, appreciation for these details that nature, these gifts that nature gives us. Like, I kind of love that I know that, you know, daffodils and narcissus come first and then those kind of go away. And I guess I feel like I'm forgetting something. Tulips, and then the irises kind of come and go. And yeah, I just love that each kind of plant or flower has its time, and you start looking forward to those things. And yeah. So the, I think being an observer in the environment that I live in is something that I've come to appreciate.
So you've located yourself in Hudson through your, is it, can you talk about your, I don't know if it's a business or,
mm-hmm.
or organization.
Yeah.
And, yeah, how did you locate in, or why, mm-hmm. how did you end up in Hudson?
Yeah. So Hudson River Exchange is a business, and it's kind of an accidental one. It happened very organically. So it started as a one-day craft market event that was organized by a collective of women creatives in Hudson. We were all living in Hudson, or we were, well, the kind of central connecting point was there was this store called Content that this woman, Jade, who had grown up in the Berkshires, had opened, and she had lived in the city for some time and was kind of moving closer to home. And I guess on Warren Street at the time, too, it was kind of like a newer business. And she had kind of a mixture of handmade, local handmade, from friends that she knew from growing up in the area, and also great vintage. And it's now, I guess what's there now is Flower Kraut, but prior to that, Content was kind of like, for the origin of story of Hudson River Exchange, it's where really where it starts. That was kind of like the hub where we were, a bunch of us were kind of going to that place and starting to get to know Jade. And so the original kind of group of volunteer organizers were kind of women creatives, and kind of she was either selling some of our things, or we were talking to her. She was also a graphic designer, and I also do some design work. And so, yeah, it was just kind of this place where all of us kind of were meeting. And there was another woman who she met through the store who kind of had moved from Portland, Maine, and there had been like a craft market that friends of hers had started, and you know, they were starting to just gather volunteers. And so it really started as just kind of, wouldn't it be fun? We all know, have friends that make things. And there's this riverfront space that the city owns that is this really underutilized, beautiful park where you're on the river and, you know, you're looking at the Catskill Mountains. And yeah, it's just this incredible little thing. So we just thought, wouldn't it be fun to do something? And at the time, that was 2013, and we thought, oh, we could get about 30 people between us. That'd be great, you know, that's like a good size. And we ended up getting 80, and it was just kind of the first of its kind. And it was the hottest day that summer in July, and everyone, and it was a one-day event, and basically by the end of it, everyone was asking, you know, when's the holiday market? Because a lot of these makers were traveling to larger cities to participate in craft markets or selling online. And, you know, we had store owners on Warren Street, like, shocked at the number of amazing local handmade that they could be buying. And makers were meeting each other for the first time and realizing they were neighbors, and there was just this amazing energy. And so we kind of looked at each other and said, well, we'll email you about a holiday market. And so there was an obvious need, and a few of us from the original kind of organizing group continued on, and I think we put on a holiday market, and the next year we kind of formalized it as a business. And since then, we, I guess a couple years after we started, we were still doing the annual markets, and then kind of felt like, you know, to have a space where we're doing things a little more year-round would kind of be the next step. And basically, where we are, 514 Warren Street, before us was the Hudson Wellness Collective, and it's this amazing woman, group of women practitioners who were utilizing that space. A lot of them were starting to transition and having different needs, and so they reached out to us to see if we would be interested in taking over the space, and it just kind of happened. Right time, right place, I guess. And so I guess we started in Hudson, and it exists in Hudson because we were living here, and the spaces were available, and there is just kind of this legacy of entrepreneurship in this town. And just the infrastructure exists, like beautiful storefronts on Warren Street. And I mean, we're a river town, and that's just, you know, historically where the commerce flowed from. So it just kind of, I guess, was the inspiration point, but also just we were here. It wasn't that strategic. And the name Hudson River Exchange, I think, you know, in theory we thought, it could go along up and down the river eventually, whatever we end up doing. Haven't really quite done that yet because it's kind of a big region, and I think we are this mini city in Hudson, but there's a lot of space in between, and it's kind of hard to get out to all along the river. But there are these amazing creative communities all around the Hudson Valley, and that's another thing that we learned from putting together these larger market events, is that even though we aren't, in theory, that far from each other, people kind of knew kind of their friends that they lived around, like in their towns. But beyond that, it was kind of maybe you learned about other people through online or social media, but our markets kind of became this place where people could really get to know each other and connect in a different way. I think there's this kind of false dichotomy with technology and how we feel like we're connecting, it's still meaningful to gather in a place together.
Are you a maker as well?
I get asked this question quite a bit. I guess yes, but not so much in the sense of I'm a creative, but I guess I'm more of a community builder. I feel is my purpose and what I'm good at. I really enjoy, and I guess I've known this for quite some time, like I like being able to be an advocate for other creatives as a creative, because I think that, you know, being able to understand creative process is really important, and you're able to have conversations with people about what it is that they're working on, in a different way than I think when maybe you're kind of coming at it from just like a purely academic sense, or just from an outside perspective. So, I do like to make, I really enjoy cooking. And I think that if I were to do my life over or have a redo, I would probably, I guess I never recognized how much food is like a creative force in my life and how it's something that comes very naturally to me. I might have paid a little bit more attention to that, but I don't know that I would actually do it over, but I mean, I appreciate, maybe it's better that I didn't go down that road, because it's still something that I can do and enjoy and I learn from a lot, and I think a lot of people, I think people are drawn to live in the Hudson Valley because there is a level of passion for food and enjoyment of it. I think about like the motivations for moving up here as well, and one of them was to be able to have dinner parties, and because never had enough room in a New York City apartment to cook dinner for more than two people and let alone host a bunch of people. So I think it was also that all these romantic notions that kind of motivated me to move up here.
Can you speak a little bit more about community and maybe locating yourself within the community of Hudson and maybe what you find exciting or inspiring?
I've never lived in a small town. I've never lived in a place like this before. And I think a part of moving up here was I wanted my interactions, like even, not even necessarily people that you talk to or friends or whatnot, but I was realizing that living in New York City, just even people that you bump into or share space with in the subway, it's like I don't have that much in common with a hedge fund person, or you know, I guess it was kind of going back to farming and working with your hands, like I kind of wanted to be in a community of people that had an appreciation for that kind of work, so there was this notion of looking for, there was this notion of community, just more intuitively of wanting to surround myself with different people that valued kind of working with the earth, working with your hands, maybe more basic things like that. And you know, it didn't occur to me that until years into building Hudson River Exchange that what we were doing was community building. And it was, that was something that I didn't know that I was doing and was so drawn to doing. And I think it's because I myself had worked as a freelancer for so many years, and when I had, like, there were these moments of being able to connect with peers, like over happy hour or, you know, in a more social sense, that I felt so supported and kind of noted that in my mind, I guess, tucked it away. And so when I moved to a place like this, I think as Hudson River Exchange started to grow, I really wanted to bring in that aspect of support and places to gather and share, kind of share space, especially because so many of us work from home or, you know, by ourselves oftentimes, and how important it is to have spaces to just even be in a room with other people. I think an advantage of living up here is that you have the space to maybe have a home office or studio, but, you know, we live, it's not as densely populated, so you might not talk to anybody else for days, or, you know, outside of your home or whatnot. So I guess I recognized how, like, I mean, it was a recognized need, but even more so in a more rural type environment to live in. And so, yeah, it's been amazing to connect. I love connecting with creative people and connecting them to each other, because I think that there's so much, everyone is so unique, and I really don't believe in competition. And we can, I think the more we kind of interact, like, we can kind of learn from each other and support each other in different ways. And so that has been an amazing aspect of building a community. I think it kind of came from a place of, like, wanting to surround myself with creative people that I wanted to work with or be in community with. And it's also been really interesting living in a small town, because I've never lived in a small town before. I remember first moving here, and kind of one of the things that I loved about living in New York City was the kind of anonymity that you can have. And being Asian American, I realized too that it is also very recognizable when in a space like this, where it's maybe not as racially mixed. But anyway, I was very aware of the fact that I was the new person, or a new person in town, because I quickly realized that there were only a handful of places to get coffee and have a pint or go out. So yeah, I recognized too that it wasn't just the fact that I'm, like, I don't know, just less people around. So, but it's amazing how much Hudson has really grown in population and in the amount of time that I've lived up here. But yeah, in that sense too, community, because there are less people, I never felt like I was a very political person, and but living in a place where you can know your aldermen and know the different people involved with city government, and realizing that you could show up to meetings and have a voice or have a direct connection, that was really different. And to be in a community that size was a new experience. And yeah. It's been really interesting as well, like, post Trump's presidency, or being elected and being president, I remember it's brought up a lot of things that I hadn't thought about in a long time, which is around race and being a non-white person in a very white place, and has me reflecting a lot on community in that sense as well. At the end of the day, I think it's really about just all of us remembering each other's humanity, and maybe I'm getting older too, and I'm thinking about these things, but yeah, it's been really interesting. It's the first time that I live in a place where I can't readily get certain groceries at my disposal. But the great thing is that I guess it's because of the climate. A lot of the farmers here grow Asian varietals of vegetables that I've never been able to have fresh or like actually get directly from a farm. They were always store-bought. So that's been really exciting, and it's been really interesting, like being able to kind of cook traditional Korean recipes with local and fresh ingredients. That's kind of been fun and interesting. So yeah, community is, I guess it's so many things and exists in so many different levels for me. There's kind of the community that I've helped create or connect, and then there's also community that I'm just a part of. And I've been learning a lot about myself through that process as well.
Can you tell me about an experience in either of those communities that you just never could imagine or expected before you lived here?
I mean, I guess all of it really. I guess it's been surprising to me how much I was needing community enough to kind of help create that, and that being kind of big. You had asked me about being a maker, and I didn't realize that that was really where my work would be. Because I am pretty introverted, and I have friends that are good friends, and but there is something, and I feel like I have enough friends, and I don't need to be out everywhere meeting everybody, but I just love being surprised by people, and I love living in a place that just feels, or just living my life in a more kind of pace or human scale where you create room for that kind of surprise. And it could be something as simple as just the people that I get to work with through the space that we run on Warren Street. Like right now we're featuring 6 different regional artisans and designers that are from the Hudson Valley and Catskills, and we also have the option of people being the makers participating to also shopkeep, and it's just kind of coming. I came from like a retail visual merchandising background, so working in shops and being in a shop space is, it's a lot of fun, but I love like being able to see, I love having other people in the space and working, and either they're like photographing or Instagramming certain things that they're really excited about, or the way that you know, the ideas that of like where to move things around to, because everybody comes with such a different, with their own stories and their own experiences, whether it's with, through life and work. But yeah, like right now there's a young woman who's probably in her early mid-20s and is like really good at you know, doing Instagram stories, and then there's a ceramicist who, you know, had a long career in like corporate design world and has an incredible aesthetic. And you know, I just appreciate you know, just kind of her keen eye on just like re-merchandising things. And yeah, to me those are surprising and inspiring and makes me motivated to do what I do. So
what are some spots you like to hang out in Hudson or out in the area?
I am a homebody, mostly, more than I'd like to be sometimes. In my mind, I'm out and about more, but I mean, I just love looking up at the sky, and you know, I think about the, you know, Hudson River School painters and just the colors, and it is so captivating, and you know, I guess I really enjoy going for walks at like Wandharma. It's just such a beautiful place and so special. I remember being on a walk with a friend of mine. I guess it was starting to get colder in the fall, and we were walking through, and you know, there are places that you just get around here that you just feel so transported. Yeah, those going on walks to even the same place, like kind of like I was saying about driving, like it changes every day, and I kind of get lost very easily. I think it also has to do with the fact that I grew up in a place where, you know, it's like newer construction, and people really lived in their cars, and everything is very clearly marked and very wide highways. And then living on in a city with a grid, I mean, I guess I'm so glad that we have Google Maps. Like, I would otherwise get lost, and sometimes I use Google Maps just to even like navigate places that I kind of know how to get to, because depending on the season, like if something's really lush and overgrown, like it just looks totally different. And I think the way that I drive or get around is really from visual cues, and you know, just I could really confuse myself like momentarily. So yeah, there's always something to discover. And I think the unfortunate thing about running your own business is that it does kind of keep you very busy. And Hudson, when I was living in Hudson, was very, I mean, it's a 2-square-mile town, and I feel like it was very hard to leave. Didn't get very far from the town. So it's been nice to have to commute a little bit and come in. But the riverfront, too, is also just really amazing, and I'm looking forward to going the newly opened Skywalk across the bridge. I've never walked across the Rip Van Winkle before, but I love rivers and bridges, so this is kind of like a dream come true. So I haven't done that yet, but I feel like that could very much become a favorite thing to do.
Can you speak about the changes in Hudson?
I think a very maybe basic thing is I remember when I first moved to town, there were just a lot more empty storefronts and rent was a lot cheaper. I think that a lot of it has to do with more things, more of the buildings getting different businesses, which is exciting and also I have mixed feelings about. I think it's unfortunate that I understand too that with commerce it's not always positive. I guess to me what is kind of a shame, and I've been feeling conflicted about, is this is a very tourism driven town, but even still I think there are, I think what also makes a town are the people that live in it. And unfortunately, I think that there are a lot of people that are having to move elsewhere or live elsewhere. And I guess I hope that as we continue to see development in town, that this will be considered a little bit more, because our community should be a mixture of all people. I think that's what's kind of interesting about Hudson, is that it is this kind of mini city, and it just makes things more interesting to learn from each other. And it is a real asset to have people living here year-round and not just kind of focused around commerce that's driven by the tourists. So we'll see.
I noticed that there's an election coming up, mm-hmm. with the signs everywhere.
Yeah.
Is there any talk about the what you're speaking to?
Well, I guess I don't live in town. I don't live in Hudson anymore, so I actually wouldn't be voting. But I think as a business owner, I definitely still pay attention to what is going on. That's kind of all I have to say about that, but we'll see.
I did notice in your bio that you participated with the Good Work Institute, mm-hmm. and what I do know that they're very community oriented, and can you share about
my experience? Sure. So the Good Work Institute, that kind of came at a very interesting time for me and the business. At the time, I had a business partner, and she was pregnant, which was a huge change that we were, as two people running a business with a lot of different moving parts, it was a big adjustment. And I guess I was interested in getting involved because I felt that I was looking for outside support, because I think what's great about having a partnership and a business partner is that it's great to have somebody to bounce off ideas from and get support. But I knew that there's a big life change happening with her, and I think I was kind of looking for support and community outside of the direct partnership. I guess also just being somebody that is not a mother, and kind of, yeah, I just kind of felt like we were entering into new territory. So I was interested in being a part of the fellowship, and I was able to be a part of their first Hudson Valley Fellowship, and it was really an amazing experience. I think for me, I was looking for, I was mainly going to meet people that were like-minded, and I definitely found that. I guess it's like anything that you kind of get immersed in, it's almost like camp. Like whenever I see one of the other cohort members, you know, it's just so exciting, and it feels like we're very bonded in a special way, being a part of that experience. I think, you know, it was a lot of exploration of, I guess, figuring out why we do what we do and being able to talk about that with each other. And, but for me, really, I think different people go into it for different reasons. And I believe the program has evolved quite a bit since my fellowship. But yeah, I guess for me, it was really about expanding my community. And it was really great for that. Even people that I already knew that were a part of the fellowship, it gave us space and time to get into deeper conversations, you know, beyond just kind of knowing each other socially. And I think that's been really invaluable. I remember the first meeting, we kind of were sitting in a big circle and going around and doing introductions, and it was about 30 people, and I was kind of sitting halfway, like in the middle, and I was so overwhelmed, and it actually makes me really overwhelmed, like, thinking about it, but I just was so overwhelmed with, 'cause I think I do what I do, the work that I do. I mean, you know, people often ask us, like, oh, you're a nonprofit, and, you know, we're not, and we're a very mission-driven company, business. And, you know, I think there are times where I wonder, why am I doing this? I'm not I care about things in the world outside of me, but, you know, I'm not really a political person. What can I do as one person? And, you know, but then I can kind of tell myself, you know, you do what you can. And then sitting in that room, and as everyone was introducing themselves and talking about the work that they do, I just felt so comforted and hopeful and overwhelmed by the amazing work that is being done all around this region in different fields and different communities, that I knew that, like, I just needed to do what I was doing, and there are all these other people trying to solve all these other problems. And that was just so inspiring to me. And I think to me that's kind of what the Good Work Institute is about. Because I also knew that, I mean, I just don't spend as much time on the computer Googling random things, and you know, I kind of knew that the Good Work Institute is drawing a certain kind of person or people that are interested in seeing the world differently, or different than what is in existence or prevails culturally. So, yeah, it was a really cool experience.
Were there any collaborations that came out of it that then came back into the community that you know of?
I know that there are. And I have also been able to collaborate with people. There's just so many, and I can't think of any that are specific right now.
Well, before we finish our talk, is there anything else you would like to share about Stella or Hudson with the archive? Or about the Hudson River Exchange?
It's funny because I was thinking about this walking into walking in today. That's it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.